Hello and welcome to episode 18 of The Oz Effect. I'm your host, Heath Aston. Great being with you again tonight. Now, tonight on The Oz Effect, we're going slightly off the paranormal in the real world. I've had a few requests over the past couple of weeks for some old-fashioned ghost stories. You know, the ones that you tell around a campfire or when you're kids and you're trying to scare each other? Yep, those ones. So tonight we'll be having a bit more of a storytelling episode of some spooky stories that I've found for you. So I'll be skipping the news this week, and this is an episode that you can just keep for listening to whenever you feel like hunkering down under the covers and just scaring yourself silly. So I hope you enjoy these, and without further ado, here's our first story. Now, a teenage boy drove his date to a dark and deserted lover's lane for a makeout session. And after turning on the radio for mood music, he leaned over and he began kissing the girl. A short while later, the music stopped and an announcer's voice came on, warning in an urgent tone that a convicted murderer had just escaped from the state insane asylum, which happened to be located not far from Lover's Lane, and that anyone who noticed a strange man lurking about with a hook in place of his right hand should immediately report his whereabouts to the police. Now, the girl became frightened and asked to be taken home, and the boy, feeling bold, locked all the doors instead and, assuring his date they would be safe, attempted to kiss her again. But she became frantic and she pushed him away, insisting that they leave right then. Relenting, the boy peevishly jerked the car into gear, spun its wheels out as he pulled out of the parking space and roared off towards home. But when they arrived at the girl's house, she got out of the car, and reaching to close the door, she began to scream uncontrollably, and the boy ran to her side to see what was wrong, and there, dangling from the door handle, was a bloody hook. Oh, there's an absolute classic. I still remember that one from when I was a little boy. Now, our next story goes like this. Now, the friend of a friend, who was a girl in her teens, was babysitting for a family in Newport Beach in California. The family was wealthy and they had a very large house. You know the sort, with the ridiculous amount of rooms. Anyway, the parents were going out for a late night dinner and then a movie, and the father tells the babysitter that once the children are in bed, she should go into this specific room because he doesn't really want her wandering around the house and just watch TV there. The parents take off and soon she gets the kids into bed and she goes to the room to watch TV. She tries watching the TV, but she's disturbed by the clown statue in the corner of the room. She tries to ignore it for as long as possible, but it starts freaking her out so much that she can't handle it. So she resorts to calling the father and she asks, "Hey, the kids are in bed, but is it okay if I switch rooms? This clown statue is really creeping me out." The father says seriously, "Get the kids, go next door and call 911. And she asks, "What's going on?" He just responds, "Just go next door and once you call the police, call me back." She gets the kids, she goes next door and she calls the police. And when the police are on their way, she calls the father back and she asks, "So really, what's going on?" He responds, "We don't have a clown statue." And he then further explains that the children have been complaining about a clown watching them as they sleep. He and his wife had just blown it off, assuming that the children were having nightmares. The police arrive and they apprehend the clown, who turns out to be a midget clown. I guess he was some sort of homeless person who dressed as a clown, who somehow got into the house and had been living there for several weeks. He would come into the kids' rooms at night and watch them while they slept. And as the house was so large, he was able to avoid detection and survived off their food and so on. He had been in the TV room right before the babysitter came in. And when she entered, he didn't have enough time to hide, so he just froze in place and pretended to be a statue. Oh, any story with a clown, that's going to freak me out. Not a big fan of those ones, so I'm sure a lot of you aren't either. And our next short horror story is a classic again, The Black Ribbon. Now, long ago, a young man met and fell in love with a beautiful young woman. She was always dressed exquisitely, and she always wore a black ribbon around her neck. Now, soon the man and the woman were married, and they moved into a little cottage by the sea. They started out very happily, but soon the young man became more and more curious as to why his wife wore a ribbon around her neck all the time. One day he decided to ask her, and the only answer he received was that he would be sorry if she took it off, so she would not take it off. The young man was not happy with his wife's answer, and time passed, and eventually all he could think of was that black ribbon. One day he awoke before his wife, went into her sewing box, and got a pair of scissors, and he cut off the ribbon that was around her neck. His wife woke with a start. Her head fell off and rolled onto the floor while the woman screamed, "I told you you'd be sorry." You gotta love that one. I wonder how many of you saw that coming. You probably often heard that story yourselves. Now, our next story is about Tom and the hitchhiking woman. Now, Tom had just left a party and was driving down a dark road all by himself. It was about 12:30 at night and was pouring down rain. He had only driven about 2 miles when he saw this faint figure walking on the side of the road. As he got closer, he realized it was a young lady and she was wearing a long white dress. He pulled over and asked her if she would like a ride, and she said she would, and she hopped into the front seat. He noticed that she was shivering from the rain, so he took off his jacket and he offered it to her. She draped the jacket over her shoulders and they started to talk about nothing in particular. When Tom pulled up at her house, he turned to her to ask her something, but she was gone. Puzzled, he thought maybe she'd already run into the house, and the following day, Tom realized the girl had left in such a rush that she had forgotten to give him back his jacket. He remembered where her house was and he drove there since he didn't have a phone number to call. He knocked on the door and an older woman answered, and Tom told her he was there to pick up his jacket that her daughter had from the night before, and the woman looked at him strangely and told him he must have the wrong house. The man was sure that this was the right place that he had dropped the girl off, so he began to describe her and what she was wearing. The old lady was shaken and she began to cry. She explained that her only daughter died 10 years ago on prom night and that the man had described her exactly. And she said her daughter was buried up the road at Meadowwood Cemetery. After Tom left the old lady's house, he decided to go find the girl's grave. And there, laying on her headstone, was his jacket. Now there's a good one with a classic little twist at the end. Now this next scary story has a bit of technology in it, so it's good to see that scary stories are continuing in the modern age as well. A group of friends and I went camping one time up into a bush campland area. We arrived there, we're setting up the tents, and we had our various phones with us, of course, and my friends didn't believe me when I told them that there was an open wireless network in range, aptly named Free Wi-Fi. It was rather slow, but that's not the problem. You see, we were camping out in the middle of nowhere. We parked the truck about a mile down the trail, and from there it was at least a 15-minute drive to the only ramp onto the highway. We were far removed from civilization, to say the least. Now, after we were all done checking in on Facebook and replying to Snapchats, my friends and I made a game of trying to find the source.